Anyway, what would you guess, what is the latency you need to Germany to alter that server?
55 milliseconds.
50 milliseconds, 55. We can test it. Anyway, 50 milliseconds is definitely low to play vanilla X11, probably. Oh, not bad. I think Connor is a good guess of what he thinks is.
What you see here?
50 milliseconds will not be fast enough to let you run a remote X11 session with good enough performance. We had in our last demo, we've done this on locally on low cost on the topics through the loopback interface by artificially introducing a latency of, I think it was 20 milliseconds, and you could watch a slideshow when you wanted to, for instance, open the cable. And with Ace is much faster. Okay, have you noticed something? I haven't, because I was looking to you and I didn't know. Anyway, we have a new window here. And Fabio just switched to full screen. This is what you see now, it's not anymore economics. It's the remote desktop of a server running on behalf of all the users and tools. Fabio, can you resize it to a normal window and maybe drag the walls to make it smaller? That was good. Can you drag the walls? So this is really the remote session. Well, you will be able to play with that in the next couple of days. If you have got some server at home where you can SSH log in, and where you have KDE, we can help you to install the FreeNIC server remotely, and then you can go from here or also if you want to find this beneficial. Now, I'd like to ask Jan to come to the stage and tell a few of his experiences. How the usability group has used that server, what might be possibly a result in the future.
Okay, and does this work? I don't think so. So it does? Okay. The reason why the server is a very good thing for us is there are several reasons why let us start what we're actually doing. Perhaps you have heard of the Open Usability Project or the Usability Project inside of KDE. And as a matter of fact, it is very difficult to join the development process of KDE, for example, because it is very difficult to get to the latest stage of the software. As an example, when we consider Cognitive, for example, and we say this is not nice, or this could be changed, or this could be better, the dialogue this way or that way, or the number of connections is not probably this way, then the developer mostly says, well, it's already fixed in SVN. So actually, we are always looking at a very old version, and this version is not up to date anymore, and if we contact developers with such old things, they will probably, you know, whatever. So, first of all, an X server, as Kurt is maintaining it right now for open usability, is a great piece because we simply have absolutely real-time look at the software. The second thing is, if you want to check the software, you always are the main advantages from using it? Also, a third one, for example, if we go to a university and say, okay, please care about this or that project, they may not be able to install it on their machines because they are not allowed to. But it's no problem to just run an NX client and to access any system you want. So finally, we have three big advantages of all this. As if we speak about like journalists or whatever you can imagine, people just interested in KDE, in a new version of KDE or any version of KDE, they simply can have a look by just using the NX. That's it. So what we're actually promoting now for usability and playing around with is getting usability people to support KDE by testing the software, analyzing the software, testing it with users. And as a matter of fact, the last Linux bug we did some tests with called it, and we used the X server because it was fast enough. We could handle the profiles easily. We could reset it everything we want. What's more, I think the main point about the X for usability reasons is that it lowers the entrance barrier for usability people. And it is already quite tough to get usability into an open source project because of several reasons I don't want to discuss now. But one of them is technical reasons. And we can simply lower this money gap. And as a result, I'm very optimistic that very soon more usability people will find those projects. So that's for the moment. If you have more questions.
Okay, thanks. Maybe what you add, it is quite obvious that it's not just the usability people which benefit from having access to not only the latest leading edge code compiled last night or 2 hours ago, but also the last 2 or 3 releases. Just stay like it's very easily possible to run from 1 line to 3 or 4 concurrent sessions, and each one having a different KDE inside the window, or if you switch to this window, that you can work with different versions and compare them. In KDE, we've got 2 distinct groups of contributors, the technical ones, the ones who write code and compile, and the more or less non-technical ones, those who write communication. Sometimes, of course, they overlap, but we have people who don't compile code but write communication or do translations or do artwork or things like that. Normally, those two groups run versions of KDE which are about, I guess, 6 months apart. The non-technical way for Swissley or whoever to have their packages ready, and then probably they have to wait until it's convenient before they update their local system. And in order to run leading edge code, and if there's a bug report, they run the leading edge code. The bug report very often is about some stable release 3 months ago. What do they have to do? They have got a hard disk and they have maybe they use XMAS to start another environment, or they have to reboot into another KDE or restart KDE. So it's very inconvenient for developers to verify bug reports and then also maybe to provide a fix. With that technology, everybody can connect at any time to a server which runs the version they are looking at. They don't need to have Linux on their local workstation because there are clients for Windows, there are clients for Mac. I think Jan very often works from a Mac to access the KDE utility. So there's still a bit of time. We may possibly show some of the new features which will be in the next release, and which we hope will be committed to KDE 3.5 as well, because Fabian has extended and improved the fish, the Oslave and the fish server in the fish. It's all one of can run under a different name, and it's then called XFish. What it does is it enables you to share your local resources in files with a remote session without using Samba. Because in the past we used Samba to have local directories. Into the remote session, and so you could exchange files between the remote server and the local client. This works differently because it's fish. Everybody knows fish. Who doesn't know fish? And okay, we'll show you fish in the private session. Well, in this fish, you'll see it. In a few minutes or a few seconds. Just uses a local directory, and what you do is you just put some siblings into the local directory to the files you want to share, and as soon as you remove the sibling, the file isn't shared anymore. As soon as you add a sibling to the file share, then you can see it and access it from the remote set. You access it just by typing any fish, colon slash into the address field of Concord. And did you see what Fabian did? You link now the bin directory. It's how it is called. You link the bin directory and it updates the bin directory. But here's here. Security risk, isn't it?
Session.
is going to fix that. If you run the notebook locally and you don't have any Ubuntu installed, you know it's possible with CAPS and KBrintle to still be able to print as long as there's a CAPS server somewhere in the network which has its printers. So you don't need to install a driver or to install a printer and can still access all the functions. If you use the same notebook to connect to a remote server somewhere in America or Australia or Germany or just the next building, all applications running on that server are just a display local to partial those applications. Know about the printers which are currently available at my own location. Normally, you know, easy way how to make that happen. Inside Wix in the Windows Phone or the Windows Terminal service, it is one of the major problems for administrators to get printing really work and really good easily. There's a way now to make that happen in a relatively seamless way with practically zero configuration. Don't see the finished code here, but what Pablo is doing is
the CAPS was compiling and still isn't.
Okay, this could have something to do with the
topics.
Yeah. Okay, maybe you are missing this demonstration for this time, and you have to come back for the next one.
Yeah,
this demo is one of the very few ones which didn't work out when we did the back end, but it happens as well. So, questions?
Forgive me for my really stupid question.
That's a stupid question. I might give a stupid answer.
Can I understand you say there's a 3NX server, which is 3NX agreements, which is all the things here?
You didn't misunderstand.
Here we go.
but all is long, it's the local machine setup, you're able to print to any printer. It can even be a cuffs printer picked up from the cuffs broadcasting, the remote session will see the same printer and move on the same file. Is it possible to add a printer and see that it is in the remote session as well?
Compiles KDE with all the
So I hope we could say maybe in a few weeks or months when we have done more research that it's possible. Megahertz about CPU and 40 kilobits about bandwidth, and you can scale that up to many sessions if everybody uses the same environment, so it's which are looking into RAM and share. But I'm very, very confident that we can do a lot better than Citrix and Windows Terminal servers. They scale up to 100 sessions per machine, independent of how many CPUs that machine has. Probably that's a big deal. How handles and process IPs or whatever. So what they do is, in order to not produce too many constraints, they limit the library cap licenses. And they only sell 15 licenses per machine. That's one of the really simple information I have. I'm not sure if they improve to that. But I'm sure with a big machine, we can run many more sessions than just 50 or insane number. And it could be probably an interesting challenge to try this once in the near future, and maybe go for a Guinness Book of World Records thing and say, hey, I mean, we can run so many sessions on one hardware, so hardware will be really so much better than the recent cycles.
Well, while you're asking this question, I'm prepared with more surprise for you.
For me?
For you and the audience. This machine where we are actually already locked in is in my university. And it's a machine where I definitely don't have full access. But I can still use the complete Phoenix technology with all features, suspended with you, and so on. It's just a matter of transferring one directory, which is, well, 12 megabytes, and compressed. And this directory is pretty generic. It just needs to remain in the home directory called nx.usermod. The second thing I did was edit, change one binary in the commercial client, edit, rename the normal nxffh binary to nxffh oric, and download the wrapper, which was explicitly in the LVE release. And this NXSH user mode, I'm pointing to the Zoom link to it. And when I do this, I can, I just show it again at the client. I'm starting at the client. And here I have completely bogus data conversion. And here I put my username inside the host name. This is quite a hack because the client just does port connecting via a central user, which needs maybe root access to set it up. And if you do it like that and put the wrapper on, then you can just connect like normal. And you're asked for the real password by SSH. This means also that all public key setups and whatever you have for authentication normally with SSH just work. And normally I would be asked with a nice SSH masterclass, but as I've started from the command line, it asks me on the command line. And then it's, I can just use the normal client. And this really now is kind of a peer-to-peer setup, because I can use an action that I can use easily on a machine where I don't have full access.
Okay, normally to install 3DX server, you need to be rooted. So probably world first shall be public now with the next technology.
I have a feature request that is currently it's by a hassle to set up in the user and because I have to set it up as a regular local user and not go to the next user. Does that have anything to do with this? Like
that's just the setup of the machine. We can change that. We can discuss it well how we want it and then we can
like it's kind of the idea of, for example, giving journalists a quick access to a data currently might be interesting in like a guest account without much attention, right?
We need to define the profile in peers for the journalist profile. So journalists can connect them to a lot of damage. Okay. Thank you very much, Fabian. Thank you for coming. We hope to be able to install Freedom Service and then we'll install the system so we can make more of it and find out what it is going for you. Thanks.
Ahí.
Que no está, que tiene que cerrar el admin de manera limpia.